Welcome to SBS Spice. My name is Dilpreet and it's so good to have you back. Today, I'm joined by Australia's favorite brown guy. And no, he's not Indian, we've double-checked. Born to Sri Lankan parents, Nazeem Hussain has spent over 15 years turning life's everyday chaos into comedy gold. Going from a regular day job to performing on some of the world's biggest stages, from London to Edinburgh, while selling out shows right here at home in Australia. When I first moved to Australia, Nazeem was the first local comedian who kept popping up on my feed. And now it's such a thrill to finally sit down with him, even if it's over a video call. We talk about the world of comedy, cancel culture, the jokes he loves, and the ones he'd never touch. Plus, he drops a solid piece of advice for the hustlers out there. So settle in, relax, and don't forget, you can find SBS Spice wherever you find your podcasts. Find us on Instagram at SBS Spice for spicy video bites. For more with Nazeem, let's jump right in. Hi, Nazeem. Thank you for joining me on SBS Spice.
Thank you very much for having me.
So many years in the industry, so many shows, so many TV appearances, different kinds of audiences. What I really want to know is, what's a misconception, I guess, people have about your work that you wish they understood better?
Sounds like you want me to reply to the comments section, but I don't know. Like sometimes, like I think one of the misconceptions about comedians is that they're, you know, you could just walk up to them on the street and be like, "Hey, you're the funny man. Say something funny."
Yeah.
And you know, I'll be like, "I'm just with my kids. Yeah, can you just give me, let me finish my food?" But it's so that's, you know, that, but also then you have to kind of put it on a bit, because that person might be really excited to meet you, and then that might be the only time they see you. And otherwise, if you're not giving them a good time, they're going to walk away and go, "That guy is just the worst. I'm never watching his videos again." So that's one misconception. That's about comedians generally. About my work, I don't know. I think people sometimes take your jokes literally. You know, so if you say white people this, or, you know, people that like animals that, or whatever it is, they don't get that I'm telling a joke, and so they will take your words like you are an academic putting out a paper to be peer reviewed or something. So, you know, so, yeah. But also, whatever, like, what can you do? You can't have everybody agree with you, and there's no point in that doing that anyway. You know, unless it's stopping them from buying a ticket, then I will argue the facts of my joke or something.
Actually, yeah, I wonder, is there something that you haven't joked about but you've been tempted to, and has sort of this sort of thing kind of held you back?
Honestly, I think you're overestimating my ability to filter. If there's something funny that comes to me, I'll tend to say it or perform it. So if it's funny, so long, I think the test is you can sort of say anything so long as the audience is laughing. And if they're laughing, then whose fault really is it that the joke is off color, yours or theirs? So, you know, sometimes you say a joke and you know it's probably a little wrong, but if they're laughing, you can blame the audience then and be like, "Can't believe you laughed at that. That was a test."
Yeah.
You know, you get away with it. But, yeah, I don't think so. To be honest, yeah, it's I tend not to want to make jokes about groups of people that are routinely picked on, or you got to pick your targets because the audience will not laugh if you're being mean. And that's also just not the sort of comedy that I find funny.
Yeah, I mean, you joke about being brown a lot. There's a lot of like political and social sort of undercurrent in your work that, you know, I personally really enjoy, but I've definitely come across people who find that to be offensive, or, you know, sometimes people will be like, "Oh, why is certain someone doing an accent to make a point? What was the need to go there?" You know? So of course I understand it might not be for everyone, but when you're writing your material or when you're writing your jokes, how much of the audience reaction is part of that? As you said, like, you know, I'm kind of overestimating your need to have a filter, but surely when you're writing a joke, do you, you're like, "Oh, this might be too spicy." Like, I don't know.
Look, I think if you're a comedian, you know, more than anything, you want the audience to laugh. So if they're not laughing and you're like, "But I really want to make this point," it's like, well, I think the lack of laughter wins. So you have to, you've got to be chasing the laugh. So if you can make, if you can do both, you know, if you can really get something off your chest, make a political point and make people laugh, I think that's, in a way, that's the recipe of a great joke anyway. And, you know, inbuilt into a punchline is the buildup of tension. And so often that tension is built by you taking a position and backing it uncompromisingly. And then if you can somehow release that tension with a good punchline, then that's awesome. You get a big laugh and then, you know, you feel good. The audience feels good. Like, yeah, they've had someone validate what they think. But also, if you don't, if the punchline doesn't release that tension, or if you haven't really set up the idea well enough, like there is a craft, and I'm learning that every day. Like it's a, you know, there's no shortcut, but it's I think it's comedy, so necessarily people are going to not like your material. I think sometimes people think with comedy you just make people happy. No, you make people that find you funny happy, and everybody that doesn't like you, they hate you. That's kind of comedy, you know. If you look at when any new comedy show gets released on TV, it's premiered, the comments are always really love it or hate it. It's never the case with any other show, with drama or any other type of show. It's people are just like, they're nicer about it because everybody reckons that they can be funny. And so if you're not funny, people find it really upsetting, or, you know, or you made a joke that they take literally, or, you know, so it's,
yeah.
If you're going to do comedy, you kind of have to necessarily be fine with that.
And often I feel a lot of comedy is like very social media now, very short format. You see, you know, 40, 50 second reels. And usually if I find a new comedian and they're popping up and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this person. And that's kind of my into watching their shows. Like that's kind of the first thing that people are seeing about comedians. Has social media sort of tweaked that idea? Do you think of the bite that you want to put before the whole joke that you want to say?
Kind of. It's really, that's a question of marketing. You know, it's to get people to come to your show, you need to reach them where they're at. And so, you know, I'll say this. I think stand-up comedians have been probably very slow to engage with social media as a marketing tool, because you don't get a sense of what the show is until you're in the room watching a stand-up show or seeing a routine. And also putting it out there online means that that joke is almost burnt. You can't use it again because the people have seen it. Like it's like a magician putting out his magic trick. You kind of, once you've seen it, you can't go and watch it live again. You want to see something new. So, but I think at the same time, like that's where people are consuming most of their media and entertainment, online, on the toilet, on their phone, scrolling. So you got to, it's that balancing act. How much do you put out? Like, you know, what do you put out? How do you grip people so that they're like, oh, yeah, I'll go see that guy live. There have been so many brand new comedians who are very good at social media and are selling out huge rooms, bigger than comedians that have been established for decades. Only because, not only, but because they have not been shy to, you know, figure out how to get people engaged on TikTok, create a community on Instagram. So, it's weird because there's nothing like being in a room. You know, you can take a joke out of context online, but if you haven't seen how that joke ties into the joke before, the joke afterwards, what happens 10 minutes later, maybe something that someone said in the room, like it's one big in-joke. So it's like if you took out a snippet of a conversation that you were having with your friends and you put that online, like it's hard for that to be relatable to people outside of that conversation, which is what stand-up is. It's like a show is one big in-joke with the crowd of people just there.
Brings me to almost like cancel culture. I feel like a lot of cancellations have been because it's just like a snippet, or it's like a 10-second conversation or a bite that people have sort of, you know, are very angry about online. But you watch the whole show and you were like, that had leading somewhere, and it was a part of a bigger joke and stuff. After so many years of working in the industry, are those kind of anxieties still at play with you? Like, you have to be relevant, there's social media, you always have to keep, you know, make new material and stuff and stand out. Like, how do you manage that? It must be tough. So what's
you're freaking me out right now. Never really thought of
time's
it
up,
until you just said that. Oh shit, I gotta get off this, start writing. I don't know. I think like you're constantly, when you're a touring comedian, you're constantly getting a report card on your ticket sales. So if no one's coming to your show, you're like, uh-oh, something's happening. What am I doing that's boring or not? But, you know, so I think for a comedian, it's also like one of these things. So, you know, stand-up comedy is a very equalizing space. Like the state, yes, you might be super famous, but you get on stage and people are like, oh my God, it's that guy from TV or that woman from that movie, whatever. But then they're only going to laugh if the joke's funny. So that gets you to the first applause break, but then you're judged on your jokes. So it's you're only as good as your last gig or as your last joke or as your next show that you do. So you can't really hide when you're a stand-up performing stand-up comedy because, you can't just be good. The last show that I did was great. So, you know, you can't coast in the – every time you're on stage, you've got to kind of – you got to bring it. And the audience will let you know straight away.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think has changed for you? Something that has changed your show that has changed you? Are you a different comedian from when you first started and how?
Oh, well, I'm a different person. So, you know, when you do stand up, it's sort of like you talk about on stage what is generally going on in your life. So you write what you know. You know, look, there's old jokes that I pull out all the time, but it's also like the more you write, the more jokes you come up with, the more it sort of reflects your life and the times. So really, yes, the material changes. I think probably the one noticeable difference I would say experience has taught me is just like almost fake it till you make it. So when you're on stage, the audience, every comedian is nervous when they get on stage, you know, they might tell you they're not, but you just got to pretend like you're not. And then the audience thinks you're not, and then you start to feel more confident, and then like it rolls on. So it's just if a joke tanks, most of the time the audience doesn't really know that you're feeling like dying on the inside. But if you tell them, if you show them that you're feeling horrible, then they will suddenly lose trust in you. So that's probably the one thing that I'm like, that's a lesson. I try to, you know, so if you look at me on stage, you're like, this guy looks real confident. Well, you're probably wrong 50% of the time.
I love that you said most of the time you're writing, you know, what's happening in your life, something that's personal, something that's a very personal anecdote and stuff. And one of my comedian friends last year had the worst time because they ended up making a joke about their breakup or, you know, a partner that they were with for a long time. And they were like, but that was my way to sort of cope up with it. And let's be honest, it was great content. but caused like really personal distress. And that was the first time I sort of thought, I've never thought about this before. Like, this is a risky job, like making jokes about stuff that has happened or situations or people. Are you more protective of people around you when it comes to your work? Or do they understand, like, look, this is your job, I get it?
Look, I won't make fun of my family except my mom, but she's sort of like she's almost like a comic character. She's like in the show and in my stand-up, I tend to not joke about like family members, but I have, like, there's so many stories I've heard, like the one you described. There's a comedian fairly famous in Australia. He was, you know, he would never joke about his wife, but then one night, you know, she wasn't there and he just had to get some stuff off his chest, so he just went all out just making jokes about her, really funny and mean-spirited and all sorts of. Anyway, she just happened to be there that night. She just thought she'd surprise him, and she and they went through a rough
and patch she did and got surprised.
But, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, in a way he got to say what he needed to say to her via the microphone, so but it was so I'm never taking that risk. But also, I've got nothing bad to say about my wife. She's amazing.
No, of course. No, I get it. I just, you know, also, like, as a journalist, I'm quite cautious of, like, my friendships and relationships and, like, people whose shows that I watch, you know. Yeah. I know, and I have to be like, they'd be like, Dil, please tell me, was it a really bad show? And I'm like, kind of.
Oh, you tell them. Oh my god. Yeah, so you can't review your friends. You can't.
No. I mean, it would just not be ethical, right? Like, it would just be biased. Like, how can I really review? Will I ever be able to review, you know? So but also in my personal life, I'm just like, oh, this is so, like, I do, you know, I want to be honest. And I think the more honest I am is kind of the indication of my friendship with them. Like, I'd never be so brutally honest if I really didn't have that kind of a...
Yeah.
I don't go around just, you know, dispiriting people.
You're a journalist, not a psychopath.
No, it is hard. It is. It's, I feel like with creative jobs and, you know, especially yours, where you have to talk to audience all the time and the reaction is literally... a solid reaction, like, that's what tells you whether you landed or not. And it can be really tough to navigate, like, personal friendships and relationships within that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of comedians do the breakup stuff and talk about it on stage. You know, if you can make it funny, good, but if it just feels too breakup-y and if the audience is like, oh, You know, but you'll know if it's, if you're getting a laugh, then it's good. But
yeah,
you know, sometimes like a friendship is worth burning over a good laugh. You know, if you're getting a great laugh out of a routine, don't worry about the friendship.
What I know first? You made money. Who cares?
Exactly.
About friends?
Exactly. You want to make it in this game?
That's a good segue. Like when you first started, was it like, did you have this kind of, I have to make it, like I have to,
no.
You know, or yeah, were you more casual towards your approach?
I was, and I probably still am in a way, because I was working an office job, and I actually was doing this sort of just as a bit of a hobby on the side, and it sort of got more busy. And actually SBS, that's when I they commissioned my show Legally Brown, which is
yay.
I was like nervous to tell the partners at the workplace. I was like, oh no, because now I have to take like 6 months off. And so I went and told him, I was like, oh hey, there's this show SBS, you know, I don't have to do it. I could say no. And they're like, Nazim, it's your own television show, you have to do it. I was like, oh no, but don't worry about it, like, you know, it's just silly, like I'm more invested in this job. And they're like, are you an idiot? Like, so they asked me to not do it. So I was sort of like, I thought I'd come back to work after those two shows, well after the first season and the second season. So it's one of these things that I'm trying to maintain the attitude that like I'm gonna run out of jokes soon, so then I'll go do a normal job, because I think it also can affect your art or how well you're doing comedy if you put too much pressure on it. If you're like, this has to be good, you don't enjoy it, it's not fun anymore, and then like people sense that and the audience. So I don't know, I feel like in a way kind of having the hobbyist kind of like attitude to you, to the thing you like.
Talk to me about a belief that has changed over the years. Something that I don't know, something that made you reevaluate your own opinions. Have you been challenged? You know, sometimes we look at your comedy and we are challenged. We're like, oh, that joke had layers and I'm challenged to think about it. But have you been challenged by your own opinions or something that, you know, you would have said, let's say 2 years ago, but you would not dare do that now?
Good question. I think I can't think of a specific idea or value, but I can't remember when I came across like an old clip of me doing stand-up. And I was like, firstly, I can't watch myself. But I was just like, it looks so, it was very uncomfortable seeing how confident I was with these ideas. Like I was like, you know, when this, and I just said an idea, like that's the only, like there's no black or white. And it's just, it's a kind of thing with youth, not that I was like a young kid or whatever, but still like you just, I think the older I get, the more I'm like, oh, there's always nuance, there's always room for other people's ideas. Like I am becoming more aware of how dumb I am the older I get, you know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, so now it's almost like with my stand-up, I'll put an idea out, but that's my dumb idea, you know, and let me back this dumb idea. But it's but back in the day I was probably like, here's the truth, are you ready, can you handle it?
Oh my God, I hear you. And I have PTSD. Oh, so embarrassing. Like I was the same way. And I turned 30 this year and I'm like, oh my God, that quote, like, don't take yourself too seriously. I'm just like, I'm loving it. I'm like, yeah, who am I? Like, why do I have to be so preachy all the time? Like, I don't know shit, you know? And like life's just barely begun. So no, that's refreshing to hear. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, like also, you know, you become more aware of like idiots when you meet them.
Yes, I love my new filter now. Like I can just see through the bullshit and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to talk to you. Go away.
Waste your life. Protect your energy.
Wrapping up, lots of
already.
Lots of brown kids list. I know, I only got half an hour with you. You're a busy, busy man selling tickets.
Like raising a newborn.
Yeah, you know, general stuff every day. Lots of brown kids listening. I mean, I hope they're our target audience. Mm. If someone is pursuing the art of comedy or just, you know, stage appearances or getting into TV and movies in Australia, what would you tell them? And like, don't give me like, you know, everyone tries to be like, just do it and, you know, go for it. If you had to be brutally honest.
If you really like something and you love it, almost like try to maybe protect that dream or that passion of yours from the opinions of others, with respect still, because sometimes you might love it and people might not get how much you love it, and you might tell them, oh, I really want to do this, whatever. And they might go, oh, nah, there's no money in it. Or really, what about that injury? Or nah, I think you'd hate it because, or whatever. And they'll throw you off something that you should really protect and nurture. That would be what I'd say in response to you. But also I reckon just like we said before, like kind of try and find ways to keep it fun. Don't quit your job. Like hold on to your other life and do this on the side so that when you do it, you really have to fight to do it so it stays fun. For comedy, I would say you watch a lot of comedy, and the only way you get better at comedy is doing a lot of comedy. So you're going to suck a lot. Like you have to suck. And I reckon the 90% of being a comedian is just getting better at sucking, you know, and just getting up again. Most comedians quit because they suck once and then they're like, I suck forever, and they never do it again.
Endurance.
So, yeah, just endurance. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Nazeem. This was super cute. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Very much. It's great to talk to you over the internet.
And that was Nazeem Hussain. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you're having a wonderful wrap to the year. We'll keep putting out more stories, so don't miss an update by subscribing to our channel wherever you're listening from, and a nice little review hurt no one. Follow us on Instagram at SPS Spice if you haven't already. My name is Dilpreet. We will be back with more chilies in the pod. Until next time.